to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Tuesday morning, the 7th of July 2020. Andrew May is with you for the next 25 minutes as we catch up on the latest in the world of sport. And there is plenty happening not only here, but around the world, which is good news to know that everything is slowly getting back on track. Let's start in the footy world with Tom Lynch yesterday. Fox Sports News did their best to try and ask him about that hand.
How's the hand feeling, mate? All right?
Yeah, it's feeling good.
Yeah. Chance to play this week or hoping to?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
That was it before he had to jump on the plane, head up to the hub in Queensland. Trent Cotchin, meanwhile, on his hamstring injury.
Thought it was a knock initially, so, yeah, as I said, until you actually see how it's showing up on scans, it feels pretty good. I'm sure I'll be running within the next day or two anyway, so, yeah, it'll just be a matter of waiting and see.
Lots to get through today on the show. Plenty of news coming from overseas as well, and a couple of live scores from the Premier League, which will be very important come the end of the season. We'll get all to it now on The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, after six this morning, Half and Whitey are back with The Breakfast Club, and it's a chock-a-block show for you there as well. Oscar Piastri, looking forward to chatting to him. You might never have heard of him before, but he is an Australian F3 driver who won on return as the F1, the F2 and the F3 championships got underway in Austria on the weekend. So great news for the young Australian. We'll find out a little bit more about his story after six this morning. Whitey 7 question quiz and the early mail also before 7 o'clock. Then the coach's corner, Rodney Ead is back to run his eye over the weekend of AFL. But from a coach's perspective, we'll delve into the big issues and get his take on it, on what he'd do as a senior coach. Charlie Cameron, tell you what, he's just about the most exciting player in the AFL at the moment. He will join the guys before 8 o'clock from Brisbane. And Max Gawn, we'll ask him how hub life's going after 8 o'clock this morning, the inner sanctum coming your way, which should be very interesting listening. Wonder if he got to take his bike up there or if Max is stuck for a couple of weeks while the D's isolate. More on that after 8 this morning. Half and Whitey to come in about half an hour's time. Let's start in the footy world, though, with Trent Cotchin, who had to answer a couple of questions yesterday. You heard him on his hamstring injury off the top there. He also spoke about a couple of players who've opted to stay at home and miss the next five matches.
On their own business, I reckon. Yeah, simple as that. Everyone's situation is different. No one should need to explain themselves, and that's just the reality of, you know, at the end of the day, footy is a game, and I know that it's our job, but there's also other things that are pretty important to people.
Bashir Hooley and Shane Edwards won't be part of the squad, headed north to the Sunshine State. He also had to answer a couple of questions on where the Tigers are at the moment.
We always remain really positive. You know, you only have to look back as far as last year to see, you know, our team have a few injuries, but the amount of depth that we have in our group, you know, we've even seen it this year to date. Guys are coming in and out of the team. So, no, we're really excited about the opportunity. We get to go away all together, spend better time than we're allowed to here in Melbourne. So we're excited about that.
So plenty of injuries at the moment at the Tigers. Toby Nankervis, Tom Lynch, Trent Cotchin, David Asprey, Dion Prestia, all injured at the moment, added to Shane Edwards and Bashir Hooley, who are staying home. So lots of work for Dimmer to do at the selection table. We'll find out the way he goes a little later on in the week. Meanwhile, let's head now to John Worsfold, a bit more injury news, this time from Essendon. He gave us an update on Jake Stringer last night on Channel 9.
I don't have an issue with his body shape, no. I mean, we're all built differently. You know, we've got some little fellas running around. We've got, you know, our big guys. We've always celebrated that the game of AFL allows all sizes and all shapes to play a role in our game. And in a lot of cases, different ability levels depending on what type of player you are. So Jake's got a role to play within our club and within the team, and he's been performing that role really well for us so far this year. We're so disappointed with his injury on the weekend. Our absolute focus, as with Jake's, is to recover from his surgery and be available, ready to play with the team again as soon as possible. But he has a different body shape, which, again, I always think we should celebrate that. We'll assess him on his output and how he performs for the team. But also, I would like to add that he had an outstanding pre-season. He worked extremely hard. We all got affected through a massive downtime layoff with the COVID strike. But other than that, Jake's works extremely hard to get himself invested into players' role for us.
There we go. An update on Jake Stringer, who will miss the next couple of weeks as well. To John Haynes now. He's the Gold Coast footy manager. This was an unfortunate injury over the weekend. Matt Rowe with that dislocated shoulder. What's the latest from the Gold Coast?
We had some scans taken yesterday. Those scans have confirmed that it's a dislocation. So our medical team have viewed those scans. We've also sought some external views on those scans as well. And what we'll do now is just take a little bit of time to assess those options, assess the views and have a good chat about it. We don't feel like we need to rush the decision. We understand that there's a high level of interest in it, but we also want to make sure that we make the right decision for Matt. And that'll be done in consultation with Matt and his family. So we'll do that over the next little bit and then work out what the best way forward is. He's frustrated and disappointed, but that's the type of person he is. But no, he's been terrific. He's rejoined the group, and depending on what path we take with our decision, we'll make a decision on whether he stays here or not.
John Haynes speaking there yesterday on Matt Rowe. Hopefully that shoulder recovers as soon as possible. To Dane Zorko now with an update on his injury.
Get through training this afternoon and then... Yeah, I'm in the squad to go to Sydney, so if a spot becomes available, the boys are going pretty well at the moment. Hopefully I can slide back in. It was the best I've run for a long time on Saturday morning, so a bit of tongue-in-cheek there with him and said, mate, just put me in. But it was actually really nice to get a good conditioning block under my belt. I haven't really been able to do that for, 6 to 8 weeks now. So to be able to get through Saturday morning session the way I did and to pull up the way I have, it's quite reassuring and comforting just mentally for me. Hodgie had one last year. It's just called a plantaris, and, it's been rubbing against my Achilles and giving me a little bit of grief. And during the game against Adelaide, it just tore a little bit more, and I actually thought it was higher up my calf, which was sort of the reason why we stopped. But the scans came back, and, during the week I was fortunate enough to tear the rest of it. It recovers really quickly and was able to run really well on Saturday morning, as I said. It was really comforting. So hopefully that's been the cause of a bit of pain over the last few months. Just a lot of physio treatment, I think. That's been the key to it all. And, obviously work really hard in the gym and, strengthen up the area around it to, take a little bit of load off it. So I've been able to do that over the past month. Should be right to go. It snaps, so hopefully that's a good sign that it won't be coming back. I don't think they repair themselves. I think they just attach on somewhere else. So, the fact that it's, torn now and it can stop rubbing against my Achilles, hopefully that should keep me out of trouble.
Dane Zorko there speaking. Yes, so hopefully we see him back on the park as soon as possible, perhaps this week for the Brisbane Lions, who are absolutely flying at the moment. Don't forget, in the Breakfast Club today, Charlie Cameron will join the guys before 8 o'clock. Brisbane, meanwhile, this week played the SCG against the Cats. That's on Thursday night. Let's head to the NRL world now with a bit of a Melbourne flavour. Cam Munster on his knee injury. Gave an update to Fox Sports last night as to where that's at. Unfortunately, he's going to be out for a little longer than first thought.
Yeah, the knee has been a little bit different. I've been pretty much straight line running a little bit, which is ideal for myself, probably ahead of schedule. Still a fair way away, I'm feeling. Probably at least another 5 to 6 weeks, which isn't ideal for myself. It's a short season, so I want to make sure I can get out there. And I know we've got a tough season, so I really want to play against them top 8 teams or them top 4 teams and see where we're at and see where myself is at. But it would have been nice to play against the Roosters on Thursday, but it wasn't meant to be. Same with the Raiders this week. I'd love to be out there rubbing shoulders with some of the boys, but unfortunately, I've got to sit and take a backwards step and make sure I can get my rehab sorted and making sure I get myself on the field as quick as possible. I'll try and push myself this week. I'll hopefully be back training with the group by Friday, if not with the Renegades or with some of the rehab boys on Saturday, and hopefully be back in full training the following week, and we'll go from there. Yeah, I guess, I'm not entirely sure. The club and the physios ain't really giving me too much. I think they're trying to make sure they're going to get me back earlier than expected. So I think they're trying to give more weeks to myself to give me and saying that so they can bring me back earlier to make themselves look better as at their job. But, yeah, I'm not entirely sure, but I'm fairly sure it'll be at least 5 to 6 weeks and we'll go from there. I'll be back training, but, yeah, the thing will be the hardest thing for me will be changing directions and, yep, and angles. Something that I do a lot is change a lot of direction, and I want to make sure I'm at least 100% before I go out there, not 80 or 70, and do it again. So I'll make sure I'm 100%, and if that means I've got to take a couple more weeks, then I'll take a couple more weeks.
Cameron Munster there on that knee injury, so 5 to 6 weeks. Not the best news for the Storm, although they did have that fantastic win on Thursday night. So still in their Queensland hub, like a number of AFL clubs now, for the indefinite future as well. Speaking of hubs, the A-League. We spoke to Lee Broxham on the Breakfast Club yesterday. It sounds like he'll be on the move sooner than he thought. Mark Bosnich here on a few reports that every A-League team in Melbourne is going to have to pack their bags and get out of here before midnight tonight.
Well, it shouldn't affect it too much. These contingencies have been in place for quite some time. We've just got to make sure, because there's a bit of a dual sort of key thing going on here. Melbourne CBD people, exemption is only till tonight, and Victoria is till tomorrow. So I'm quite certain that everything will be okay. They are due to all arrive tomorrow morning, the whole three teams. So everything should be okay. I mean, just at this moment in time, you don't want to sort of hex anything by saying, yeah, it's definitely okay and things don't go wrong. But that should be all okay. They've been training very hard for the time that they've been off. They all three teams and people I've spoken to, it is what it is. Mm. They just want to get on with playing. And it's a good idea, like I said, to get them up here as soon as possible.
Mark Bosnich there speaking yesterday. Just an update on the Cricket World Cup as well, the T20 World Cup, that is. Ben Horn reporting in the News Limited papers this morning that it looks like the T20 World Cup is finally going to be officially postponed on Friday. So they did delay this decision about a month ago, the ICC, to give themselves a bit more time and get an idea of how the pandemic was shaping around the world. But due to the worsening situation, not only here in Victoria, but also more drastically in India and Pakistan, it does look like that T20 World Cup will be moved. Test cricket making its return this week over in the UK. We'll keep you updated on the West Indies and England as Test cricket returns. But just repeating, it does look like the T20 World Cup will be postponed. So no T20 World Cup in Australia. It looks like talks are underway in a press release today from the English Cricket Board that we might see that one-day series take place around September, October between Australia and England over in the UK, which would be an interesting restart for the Aussies before that test series over the summer against India, which should be sensational. That seems a long, long way away at the moment. 13 to 6 on your Tuesday morning. On the other side of this, we'll update you on the golf from yesterday. A big victory for Bryson DeChambeau on the PGA Tour. Some rugby, the rest of your footy news, and a little bit more NRL, and a big contract signed over in the US, according to reports. That next.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
Let's just watch this for the win.
And that's what it sounds like now when you win on the US PGA Tour with no crowds. The commentators weren't even interested yesterday. Bryson DeChambeau closing out his sixth PGA Tour victory. He shot a 7-under card final round to finish at 23-under. Matthew Wolff in second position, 3 shots behind. So he was the best of the rest, but Bryson really dominated on the final day. A bit of a different feeling now on PGA Tour events, as you heard from the reaction after Bryson won. No high fives, hugs or anything, just a few fist bumps for a couple of caddies and that sort of stuff. And then back to the clubhouse and did his press conference on Zoom. So it's a very different feeling at the moment for the golfers out on tour. But as Bryson explains here, he's just happy to be back out there.
But this is, it's a little emotional for me because I did do something a little different. I changed my body, changed my mindset in the game, and I was able to accomplish a win while playing a completely different style of golf. And it's pretty amazing to see that, and I hope it's an inspiration to a lot of people that if they set their mind to it, you can accomplish it. It just takes a lot of hard work, a lot of figuring out things, that you may not know and understand yet, but if you keep going down the line and you keep working on it, figuring stuff out, eventually you'll get a little bit better each and every day, and hopefully that leads to something great in the end. Have I had less?
I mean, it was a pretty surreal scene given what's been going on.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely. You know, it's funny. I was kind of in my own world the whole day. I never really thought much about anything outside of me, and I was just focusing on my game, trying to execute every shot to the best of my ability. And I did that for quite most of the day. And when I got to that last hole in that last putt, I just said to myself, do not hit this thing 2 feet by. Just don't do it. And luckily I hit a good putt, and it went dead in the middle, and I just knew I knew there was no way he could beat me after making that putt. And so, you know, for me, after the words, I just didn't really think anything of it. But, you know, it's weird. It's a little awkward. But, you know, again, I appreciate that we're back out here playing good golf and being able to provide entertainment for everyone.
Bryson DeChambeau there after his win. So the PGA Tour continues this week. As you heard, very different scenes at the moment. Just some other news out of the United States this morning. Adam Schefter from ESPN is reporting that the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes in the NFL have reached an agreement on a 10-year contract extension. 10 years. It is set to top the record $98 million deal signed in 2014. But, that ties him to the Kansas City Chiefs until 2031. So he's set for a while, Patrick Mahomes. Good news for him. He is one of the brightest young talents in the NFL. He is the most exciting quarterback in the league. And he was, of course, named MVP last year. So we'll wait and see if that gets confirmed by the Chiefs. But what a massive deal that is in the world of the NFL. To the rugby world now, and Super Rugby returned on the weekend. Rod Cafer speaking yesterday on Fox Sports about the new competition in Australia that's only featuring the four existing sides in Super Rugby and the Western Force as well.
It was a great exhibition of rugby, as you'd expect. Took a little bit of time to get going, but we saw this emergence of some of the great young players and these players who are going to have a big impact on Australian rugby in the next few years start to come through, and it was great to see them back in action. Well, I certainly did. The Brumbies went out and got a great start. And to be fair, the Rebels were poor in the first half, really never found a way to get themselves into the game. And all the running was with the Brumbies. The first try there after a couple of minutes, Dandy Muirhead off a nice little line-out play. It was Matt Tamua's 100th game, and he scored all the points, I think, for the Rebels in the first half. A couple of penalty goals, the odd try from the rolling maul or thereabouts from the Brumbies. And they did show some nice skills. This young kid's got a great future. Noah Lolasio, he played very, very well. A real composed game from him, putting his winger Tom Wright away, former Manly Seagulls player. And in the end, it was the Rebels sort of coming back in the last 20 minutes. The game really only got going in the last 20 minutes, and we got some insight into what the Rebels can do when they get things together. The Brumbies, in the end, a little bit too powerful in their driving maul, were able to capitalise on that. Brumbies a little bit disappointing perhaps in the scrum. They'll want to work on that given their game is built around this great set piece, but a fantastic challenge.
Just an update from the English Premier League as well this morning. One live game. Tottenham are taking on Everton and they're leading at halftime 1-0. Michael Keane scoring an own goal in the 24th minute for Everton. So Spurs with a very handy 1-0 lead. Very important match considering their position on the table. If they were to hold on, they'd move to within 9 points of fourth position. There's still 5 games to go, so plenty of points to be had, but they'll want to move up as close to Europe. Even if it isn't the Champions League, they'll want to play in the Europa League next season. Currently in 8th position on the table behind Man United, Wolves and Arsenal, who are all sitting outside the top four at this stage. Let's head back to the footy world and we'll start with Graham Wright. Now, there was a few questions asked of Alistair Clarkson in the post-match press conference about why John Paton was injured. Graham Wright explained why.
He got a small burn on his foot, I think the week before the North Melbourne game. He trained, I think that was either on the Monday or the Tuesday. He trained Wednesday. Woke up with a bit of an infection in that foot on the Friday. Because it was an infection and how he actually got that infection, I'm not sure that Clarko really knew.
So he's got the infection from cooking salmon at home. Bit of oil. Had the gas on too high. The oil spilled over the edge. He burnt his foot, unfortunately for him, but then got infected. So that is a bizarre injury for big John Paton, but it looks like he'll be okay for this week, which is good news for Hawks supporters, especially considering young Mitch Lewis doing his hamstring over the weekend. So they'll need a replacement up forward for him. Lucky John Paton's foot will be okay. Let's head to Brett Ratton now, the coach of the Saints yesterday. Had a chat about life in the hub.
It's different to think only, a few days ago we sort of got the news and it all changed really quickly. And, you know, it's been probably a big week for the players and that. But I think the ability for us to make sure the game keeps moving and we play our part, and I think every club's doing that. And, I think it's a great opportunity for us to come away and, you know, really connect as a group. And some of the things that we couldn't do at training and with our meetings, we're allowed to do now, which is great. Yeah, we've got our whole squad, so that's been really encouraging to not leave people behind. So, you know, Luke Dunstan hurt his pec and is probably out for most of the year, nearly all the year. So for him to come up and be part of the group training and be around the players is fantastic. So they're just little things, but I think to bring everybody and the growth of the kids to be around, you know, some of our senior boys, to watch how they prepare, and that is really critical in their growth. So it's not about just playing games. It's about watching others and the way they work Monday to Friday and prepare to play on the weekend. So I think we'll get some real upside with some of our kids. The season's been a little bit disjointed anyway, in that we started 1 week, we stopped, and, you know, we'd sort of been waiting for every couple of weeks for the fixture and things like that. It's, I suppose it's just a block for us that we have to play away. So we get 5 weeks away, and, we want to make sure our performance is at a level that where we want it to be. So that's going to be the challenge. But, you know, whether we're here in Queensland or we had to go to Perth or Darwin, the opportunity to get everyone together is really important for us, because some of the meetings that we did have back in Melbourne, we were running, you know, 3 meetings on a day or 6 meetings on a day. It becomes tedious and hard work. So to have everybody hearing the same message and then start the dialogue in the room about the conversation, that's really important. So instead of just having the backs in a room or the midfield or the forwards, we get to have everybody and they start to talk about what happened in the midfield, hurt us as a defensive unit, and then we start to open up the conversation to make us a better team. And I think they're the opportunities we can get back to, which is great. The challenge is people are going to be away from their families and things like that, but the opportunity from a team point of view is pretty healthy for us, and that's what we're excited about. So, you know, trying to really focus on, you know, we've got 5 weeks here, our performance and how we go about it will be critical, because I think we create the environment as coaches and players and leadership groups. You know, if we sit there and, you know, you look at everything negative, it will become a negative environment. But I think there's some real positives for us. And, this environment that we're going to try and create is one about performance and high performance. So, we want to make sure that we maintain that.
So the Saints this week to play Fremantle at Metricon at 12:35 p.m. Strange time to be kicking off. But there's a few strange times this week, including Carlton and the Dogs at 6:45 p.m. on Sunday. So it's all just a bit of adjustment to hub life at the moment, even as viewers from a couple of thousand kilometres away. That's it for The Breakfast Bite on this Tuesday morning. The Breakfast Club up next. It's 6 o'clock.